Hi and welcome to the Mount Hamilton Baptist Church podcast. We hope you enjoy listening to this message. For more information, go to mhbc.ca.
Gethsemane. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." This is the word of the Lord.
Every year in my job, and I'm guessing you do things like this as well, in September, I sit down and I make up a list of goals. I use our vision statement that we wish to be connected, Christian, missional, and I consider different things that I would like to do this year under those various areas. Well, it's a good idea when you set goals. I check in every once in a while. And recently I checked in and I had the experience I have almost every year, which is that I have failed to keep most of my goals. One of those goals, for example, was to start Sunday at home, which you've heard about. I was aiming for that before Advent. We started this morning, and we still got some things to work out there. I had goals for things I would do in different ministries, things I would do with our board. I had planned to blog every week. I've blogged twice since January. In January, Pastor Leslie, the first week of January, preached a wonderful sermon. Some of you were here, on the value of memorizing scripture. She gave out a lovely handout. Do some of you remember this? With different verses you could learn and goals you could set. And we said if you met your goal that Pastor Sam would give you a prize. Now, this was important to me. Full confession, I asked Leslie to do this topic and to create the handout. I felt that especially families learning some of these key verses of scripture would be valuable. And then I brought the handout home and I put it on my fridge where it has been sitting since January. Maybe some of you, Pastor Sam has told me, no one's come for a prize yet. Now, besides the fact that I've not done this myself, my greater shame is that I have not reminded all of you. We did it once, and I kept forgetting to say, maybe you want to do those goals. Don't forget the prize. And so I feel regretful that I haven't followed up on this thing that I asked Leslie to do that she did such a wonderful job with. My daughter's school teacher had a baby in January, and I found out she was in the NICU. For 8 weeks straight, whenever I wrote up my weekly to-do list, I would write Lucy's teacher so that I could remember to buy her a gift card to use for meals while she was in hospital. This week I was talking to her mother and I learned the baby came home on Monday. I never bought the gift card. Ugh. Have any of you been there? And what is worse for all these things for me, as frustrating as it is when I don't do things I want to do, was that these were things I wanted to do for God. I felt God calling me to do each of these things. They were good, but yet I didn't. Not because I didn't want to. Sometimes other issues came up. Sometimes I had often unrealistic goals. Sometimes there were reasons, legitimate, that things needed to be delayed. Sometimes I was tired. Sometimes even if I had time to memorize scripture or write a blog, watching a show on Netflix was all I felt like I had energy to manage by the end of the day. Now, we've been looking at this idea of woe, and let me say, woe to me. For I feel like I let God down all the time. And in some ways, I very much understand the plight of those disciples that you heard in the story that Aravind just read, who I think felt the same way. When we began this story, which is in Matthew 26, if you'd like to follow along again, verse 36, it says that Jesus and his disciples go to a place called Gethsemane. It was a garden outside the city. At this time, the way the city was, Jerusalem's on a hill, people didn't have gardens next to their homes like we did, but wealthy people would have gardens outside the city. And so for someone has, I guess, loaned Jesus access to their garden, which was on the slope of the Mount of Olives. They have gone there after they have joined together for a meal known as the Passover, an important Jewish celebration. And Jesus knows what is to come. In fact, tomorrow he will die. And so he goes to pray. And with him, he brings his disciples. These were people that he had chosen to be those he would mentor and lead. There were 12. But within those 12, there were actually three that he was especially close to. We read that he would usually often pick these three to do things with him: John, James, and Peter. And he says, come with me while I pray. Sit here and wait. And he confesses to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. So stay here and watch with me. I think it's a profound thing to read Jesus saying, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow. Quite literally saying, I feel so badly, I could die. Some of us, we've been talking about scriptures like that. And if you look around the room, we've quite intentionally put up scriptures that name those kind of woes as we remember them this season. He is overwhelmed with sadness. He is depressed. He is grieving in pain. And so he goes to God and prays. But before he goes to God, he says to his friends, please, please just stay with me. Just be near me. Sometimes I've read this and I've wondered, why does Jesus need people to do this? Was he lonely? Was he scared? What would they have to offer that Jesus needed? I find it intriguing, but I don't have an answer. And we read that Jesus goes, he falls to the ground, his face is on the ground, this position of intense prayer, and he says, God, take this cup from me. He's about to die. And that cup is the weight of all of the sins of the world that he will carry on his shoulders. And when he returns, these three good friends, they have fallen asleep. In fact, he says, you haven't lasted an hour. I think there's good reasons for this. They've just had a big meal. It's late. And actually, part of the tradition of Passover is that during Passover, those present drink 4 glasses of wine. Guys, I wouldn't have stayed up, like, not a chance, right? 4 glasses of wine, big meal late at night. Maybe you would have fallen asleep too. He says, watch and pray so you won't be tempted. And he goes back, he prays again, he comes back again, they're sleeping again. He doesn't say anything to them this time. He goes back, he prays again, he comes back a third time, they've fallen asleep again. He says, are you sleeping and resting? My hour is near. And then we read that he says, let us go, here comes my betrayer. The religious leaders come, he's arrested, then he goes to trial, and he is crucified. There's so much in this story to me that is beautiful and challenging and encouraging. I think it is very beautiful and encouraging to see the God of the universe, Jesus, admit this pain and grief at the task he is facing. We get a glimpse of the weight of this, the honesty of his lament. And I find comfort that Jesus felt sorrow to the point of death, something many of you have felt. Many of you, many of us have had seasons of saying, just like Jesus, God, I don't want this cup. I don't want to be sick. Take it away. I don't want to be depressed. Take it away. I don't want to have to care for my aging parents. Take it away. I don't want to watch my loved one die. Take it away. Take the cup, God. I don't want it. And sometimes we prayed that over and over, just as Jesus did. And I hope there's something very meaningful to you in seeing that even Jesus said, God, could you just take it away? You're not alone. And that longing is a woe we understand, and I could talk about that woe for a long time. But the one I'm going to focus on this morning is the woe of the disciples in this story. The disciples to whom Jesus says, "Couldn't you stay awake?" Sometimes we do not do the things that we have many good intentions to do, even when we want to. Sometimes we let God down and we fail. Woe to us. Sometimes that happens to how we let other people down. When there are those in our lives with cups that are pleading for us to stay, people that we love that have said, "Please support us." And sometimes we haven't, even when we wanted to. We may have been on both sides of that. I have been. Almost all of you will know that a few years ago, I lost my sister and went through a season of grief. And there were two things that surprised me in particular in that season, among many. One was how very amazing people were, how much support and love I experienced, and how much that mattered. Ironically, the other was how many people weren't supportive, and how many times I would find myself thinking, couldn't they have stayed with me a little longer? Only, of course, to me it would say in like words like, couldn't they acknowledge my loss? Couldn't they have sent a card or come to the funeral home? Couldn't they have remembered to ask how I was doing? Couldn't they have remembered a few months later when I was still hurting and it felt like everyone had forgotten, had fallen asleep? And I remember how often I thought, woe is me. Couldn't they have stayed? But interestingly enough, the woe to me today is realizing how often I have done that to others. There are many that I forget that need someone to walk with them. Friends who have been hurting and I've forgotten until they reminded me. People I meant to support. There are people I want to help and sometimes I just feel I have nothing left to give. I don't remember to call. I don't remember to email. And as the disciples' eyes were heavy and they were just too tired to stay up, sometimes that's the case with me. My heart is heavy. My body is heavy. And I'm forgetful and I don't have enough energy. Even though I want to, I fall asleep and I regret that. And I know you've done that too. And one of the interesting things after that season of grief was how I noticed that and regretted how I'd done that to others. And I found myself going back to people in my life who had had grief. One of the things that's interesting if you lose like a sibling at 35 is that most people your age haven't been through that kind of grief. So I only had a few people that had been through that. And then I realized, oh man, I was awful when they were grieving. And I remember going back to them and saying, I am so sorry. I didn't understand. And you know what's happened to me in the last 6 years since my sisters died? Time and again, as I do have friends that are losing people, they're now coming to me and saying, I am so sorry. I didn't understand what you needed. Because that's how it works. And we all have that woe. Woe to us. For we aren't always there for people who have cups that are hard to drink. Even when we say we will be, we fall asleep. And sometimes that woe is so big because like the disciples, ultimately the one that we feel we have let down is God. And I gave examples already, but you will have your own. All the good intentions of things you're going to do for God. God, I will be with you always. God, I'm going to stop doing that thing I've been trying to stop for the last 10 years. God, I will serve you. God, I will help you. God, I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to help more. I'm going to be kinder. I'm going to be better, more loving. I'm going to journal. I'm going to give better. I'm going to go to that pod every week. And then we don't. And there's good reason that this happens, and Jesus names it here. Did you hear it? He looks at his disciples and he says, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And we have weak bodies. We have things we want to do, but there's not enough time. We commit to think more than we can do. We take on so much, we grow exhausted. We set goals we can't keep. We're willing, we want to, but we're human, and sometimes we don't have all the capacity we wish we did. And so we don't do what we wanted to do, and we say, woe to us. This one is huge for me. I struggle with saying no to things for lots of reasons, but the greatest reason is that I want to do all the things people ask me to do. I'm in a season where I'm more frequently asked to do speaking engagements, workshops, come and help people, meet coffee. As I said, I've done some bigger events lately, and I've gotten all these messages. Could I meet you for a coffee? Could I do this? Could I do that? And I hate saying no. My spirit is willing, and I have to admit that my body is weak. Just this week, this one was huge for me. Someone who I knew attended another church and was very involved and connected well to their pastor had talked to me a couple times, and they were processing some things in their faith, and they just, I think, felt like they connected to me, and they wrote and said, could we meet for a coffee? And they shared what they wanted to talk about, and I had to write back, and I said, you know what? I'm so honored you want to meet with me, but as you have another church, if you could maybe go to your pastor, because I have a lot of people from my church to meet with, and maybe we could talk online. I almost threw up sending the message. I'm like, ooh, this is a hard one. My spirit is so willing. And you know, they wrote back, no problem, that's great. I'd love to talk online. That's really nice of you. It's so hard. Because many times we are unrealistic, and our woe is that we just can't do it all, that we won't be able to be everything for everybody. We're human. And we say yes to more than perhaps God has even asked us to do. And woe to us, we didn't do it. Woe to us, for our spirits are willing, but our bodies are weak. And like the disciples, we say, I will be with you, God, but we don't. And then we feel guilty, and we feel embarrassed, and we make excuses, and we beat ourselves up. We say we won't do it, and then we do it over and over. We feel like we hear Jesus saying, couldn't you just stay with me? Some of us feel about that way about the scripture thing hanging on their fridge. Anyone else still got the memorizing scripture thing on their fridge? Some of us feel about that way about the pod we signed up for and we never made it to more than once. Some of us who've been here a long time feel that way about Pumpkin Patch Daycare. And we're saying, what happened there? Did I do something wrong? As we process some maybe changes there. And the woe is hard because it can lead us to feel ashamed and guilty, and none of those things are God's will for us. Shame and guilt aren't from God. And I think some of the reasons we feel that is how I've always heard this read to me. Every time I've read this, I don't know if anyone's read it out loud this way, but when I read this story, this is how I hear Jesus talking. Then he returned to his disciples and said, couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But then I wonder, what about if Jesus said, oh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak? Is it possible he looked at them in their full humanity and understood exactly what they were feeling and actually was pleased that their spirit was willing, but their flesh was weak? And after all, he doesn't say it the second time when he comes back. And I think it is entirely possible that that's the case, which brings me back to the question, why did Jesus ask them to come with them? Why did he need those three guys there? Could they do anything? Could they make a difference? What did it matter if they fell asleep? But for some reason, he wanted them there. And for some reason, he still wants us. And he still uses us. For some reason, Jesus will use us to do the work of his kingdom, to sit with others, to say yes to the things to which he calls us. And sometimes we will feel we let God down. Sometimes it is simply laziness, over-busyness, bad decisions on our part. And sometimes it's entirely a weak body and a good spirit, and we'll fall asleep. And we will say, next time. And that's when we remember what Jesus does at the end of this story. Perhaps you heard it. I think it's pretty great. He comes back the third time, and he says, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man, meaning him, is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Maybe you didn't hear it. Rise, let us go. Did you hear that? They have just let him down three times. And when he's on his way to be arrested, he says, come with me again. I still want you. Jesus never stops inviting. Let us go. There's a new thing. You haven't blown it. They couldn't undo the story of God here. The story God was writing even with and in and through their weaknesses. Jesus knew that. And he didn't stop using them. And this week, this month, this year, you will fail to live up to all you intend. And Jesus will still say, come with me. Let's keep going. You can't undo the story. God understands our body is limited. God keeps calling us. Now, our tendency in those moments, of course, is to say, I'm just going to throw in the towel. It's too late. We didn't start Sunday at home before Christmas, but you know what? We can keep going. We started it this morning. The Bible memorizing chart is still on my fridge. It is not too late. And all those things that I hoped to do that were just too much for me, I remind myself that Jesus understands my limitations, my overzealous spirit, my tendency to overcommit. Thanks be to God, he still calls me. We'll learn. We'll get better. And Jesus will still say, I know you've fallen asleep. And woe to us. But let's keep going. Let us wake up tomorrow and keep serving the God who will keep inviting and keep using us. So you were going to read your Bible more this year, and you stopped? Start again. Pick up where you left off. You didn't help someone you were going to? Help the person next time. You forgot to do something you meant to do? Apologize and receive the grace of God. You have committed to more than you can do. Admit your body is willing, but your spirit is willing, but your body is weak, and receive God's grace. There is grace and love for those of us who fall asleep. And that is why we can still say, come, let us go. Jesus still calls us, still uses us, still needs us, still loves us.